Well, we're in the book of
Romans.
Romans, chapter 1. And if you open your Bible to verse number 18, you'll see that it's seething. It's hot. This is some hot word we're getting on tonight. In Jesus' name. Well, this is what. Oh, so we're going to deviate, huh? You got a plan for deviating. She's going to move us from the heat. Anyhow, we're in Romans chapter 1, and let's go to verse number 18 tonight, and we're going to have a good time together learning the Word of God. This is what you're learning tonight. I want you to get to the point where you memorize or remember what we learn in this section of the Word tonight, because I believe it'll help to answer a whole lot of questions in your life as we live through this whole process of being in the kingdom of God and living in this world, in this crazy world. And I'm going to show you some things here. I'm going to break down as many words as I possibly can, so we may not go very far, even though we may detour for a minute. I want to make sure that we get the understanding of every word so that we know that God is direct. He's saying something directly to us, and we need to learn these things to be able to gather the knowledge we need to live in this world. So, you know, we were shooting television today and talking about obedience and how God wants to be able to bless us, but obedience is the hinge to the door of blessing. And so if you be willing and obedient, in fact, let's go there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Let's go there first, because you're going to see that the people that we're dealing with in first chapter of Romans 1 and 18, okay? No, 1 and, yes, it's 1 and 18 in Romans, and it's 1 and 18 in Isaiah. 1 and 18 of Isaiah, and God is not unreasonable. He wants to sit down and just deal with us, okay? And let me just say this. We grow from glory to glory. Amen? You go from, but what that really means is that as soon as you say, I have accomplished that particular area in the kingdom of God, guess what? It's like whack-a-mole. You're going to see something else pop up in your life that has to be changed in order to stay in God's obedience and all that kind of stuff. Because we're always growing, and God will reveal or open up things that we had not seen before that we need to be able to work on. And so it's an ever-living change that we live in.
Because basically and really ultimately, we're trying to be like Christ.
That's right.
Christ-like. That's what a Christian, if you break up that word, you know, Christian.
Right.
You know, and so Christ, we're to be Christ-like,
right.
And we're trying to be more like him in all areas of our lives.
Right.
So we're bought with the price, and so we don't own ourselves anymore.
Right.
And so everything is the Lord's.
We're changing more and more into who the Lord is and less of who we are, whatever that personality, whatever you want to call it, that we're trying to be. So the Lord, I wanted to make sure that I get this in you. God's not trying not to talk to you. He wants to talk to you.
Yeah, he called us out of darkness.
Right.
Into his marvelous light. And his light is really the word.
That's right.
And so as believers, you know, we should be coming out of darkness, whatever that darkness is in our former life, you know. And so we should be coming out of darkness. And sometimes Christians want to live, you know, try to live in the world and in the light at the same time, and that doesn't work like that, and you're not happy like that. Mm-mm. And I think that's why sometimes
well, nobody that's straddling the fence in the physical is happy, okay?
Yeah, it hurts, huh?
That hurts. So you don't want to be straddling the fence, and so you want people that's going to push you to the, and, you know, and really the Lord put it in my heart this way. He said in his word in the book of Revelations, I wish that you were either hot or cold. And then if you're lukewarm, he doesn't even wait for you to jump out of his mouth. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'm spitting you out. So he can't even take lukewarm at all. You know, one of the worst things to eat is lukewarm soup.
Oatmeal. That's the worst thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the second thing.
Lukewarm oatmeal, have you ever ate that? I mean, you know, if it's not hot, it's not not what you want. So God wants us to be hot for him, not cold or lukewarm. And I'm telling you, well, that's how, you know, that's how we try to run our marriage, okay? So, you know, you know, if I don't make enough comments or I don't give her enough attention, like yesterday I was very busy, I didn't give her enough attention at the end of the day. And, you know, I sing the song every day that I can.
Every day and all that.
You are so easy to love. You want me to sing it right now? Okay, here we go. I sing it every morning.
I don't demand a lot, though.
You're a low maintenance wife.
I'm a low
maintenance. And I thank God for that.
That's right.
You know, you usually maintaining me, okay? So thank God for that. But, you know, we like it hot. I mean, we like to be able to say, I love you, girl. I love you, too. Oh, Donnie, and, you know, back and forth.
Every day, though. Yeah.
You know, and that's why, you know, 52 years, she's still my girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right.
She's my wife, she's my girlfriend, she's my lover, she's my best friend, she's my, you know, we just hot.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's not just a physical thing. Amen. Praise God, but that ain't lacking either. But anyhow, so I'm saying to you, we should be that way with God. Because really, the marriage is supposed to be an example
of
Christ and the church.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I can tell you one thing, from his side to your side, he's hot.
Yeah.
God is hot for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
So we have to be able to reciprocate the same temperature and not be the frozen chosen for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Say amen to that. And see, I want you to know that God is not hard to get a hold of or hard to talk to. Here in Isaiah, watch how this comes out. Chapter 1, verse number 18, it says, come now, let us reason together. And God is saying, let's get together and talk about this stuff. He made individuals like human beings to be able to talk. Amen. So God is a God that knows that we need to be able to communicate. So if we can communicate with one another, I believe he wants us to be able to communicate as well with him. So he says, come, let us reason together. Now watch this. Then he says, though your sins be like scarlet. Hello. You got sin all in your life, but that's not going to keep me from talking to you. And see, this is what happened when people get messed up with the Lord. They get away from the church. They get away from God. They get away from the pastor. They don't want to be around nobody because they're messed up. But God says, I know you got to sin, but come on, let's reason together. Let's talk. And see, you should take what you learn here to people outside of this church and tell them the same thing. That God ain't mad at you where you can't talk to God. He knows you're sinning, but he's not penalizing the relationship because of that. He wants to come and reason together, though your sins are like scarlet, because we're going to read about the riot act here. I read you the riot act Sunday. Part two is this Sunday. I read you about that. Who's not going to make it in? And they're not, God can't lie. They're not going to make it in if that's their lifestyle. And such were some of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Such were some of us, We should not be, such are some of us. See, because God should have already changed us. And see, this should be like I said, glory to glory. This should be a work in progress. We should see some progress, not just some work. Is this too plain tonight? Do I need to speak in tongues for a while?
No.
No, you need to understand this stuff. Not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay,
why don't
deviate
then a little bit?
No, I just deviated.
Oh, well, I mean, what I want to read is it goes along with what you're saying right
ahead.
Now.
Okay, go ahead.
And I guess because, it's in Romans, and we'll get there, but that's okay if we read it because, you know,
we'll get there eventually.
But Romans chapter 6, because you're saying something, because the Bible tells us we need to die to sin.
That's right.
Okay. So it says in Romans 6.
Mortify the deeds of the flesh.
I'll skip around, hopefully, because I don't have my other Bible and I highlighted some. But it says Romans 6, 1. I'll read quick, too. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Oh, yeah.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, and that's the last sting, too.
Yeah.
Okay. live any longer therein. Mm-hmm. This is a question mark. Knowing not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So it's talking about the baptism of salvation, okay?
Right. You were baptized.
Yep.
And into salvation.
Right. And it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Now, I won't read everything, but it says, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, say old man.
Old man.
So if you have an old man, then you should have a what?
New man.
A new man. So the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, you know, the Bible, if you keep reading that, it's just talking about that we should have a different lifestyle. Yeah. Over a period of time, we should come out. He called us out of the world, but we need to get the world out of us. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like he called the children of Israel. He got them out of Egypt. But Egypt, the Bible says in the book of Acts, Egypt was still in them. And so we should, you know, over time, we become more Christ-like.
See, and the thing is,
and that's not being religious. That's not being.
Do we need all that? Do you have to do all that?
Yeah, because the world,
you know, do we have to really live all that? Yeah. I got to stop doing
that. You shouldn't drink anymore. The Bible says you shouldn't lie anymore.
After a while, you ought to get sick of sin.
That's right. That's right.
You have to live all that? What are you, a holy roller?
Yes.
I roll, but I ain't a holy roller, but I'm a roller.
Yeah. Well, he said be holy, so
yeah.
We should be holy. We are holy roller. Then, if you want to call us that.
See, that's how she helps me.
Yeah.
But see, people get this way. Yeah. Christian, yes, I got that. Okay. There are 7 different churches in description in the book of Revelation. I've been listening to the book of Romans. I've probably listened to it 15 times in the last 2 weeks, because whenever I get to a book that we're studying, I listen to it all day long in my ear. I've got an ear on it. I'm listening all day long. And so I probably listened to this 15 times. So when she's reading that, I can remember and I can almost recite what she's saying. Well, I'm doing the same thing with Book of Revelations, because, you know, the Bible says you read it, you're blessed, sister. So you read it, you're blessed. So I'm listening to it. And when I get a chance to, while I'm listening to it, it's on my phone and I read it also. But I'm saying to you, there's 7 different styles of churches. There's the lukewarm church. There's a church that has a place in the church for Satan. There's a church of fellowship or brotherly love, the Church of Philadelphia. All these different churches, and Jesus said, with this style of church, because those churches were in Asia Minor, those styles of churches is what's out here now. So you got to deal. I always said, you got to deal with flavor, figure out what flavor Christian you're going to be. Are you going to be a drinking Christian? You're going to be a smoking and a token Christian? You're going to be a cussing Christian? Or are you going to be the one that's going to live your life straight? Because it's in the Bible. These were churches, and for some of those churches, because of how they handled what we're learning about, and you read the scripture about life, about your life, that this is your life. That's what I heard, okay? About your life, the way you decide to live your life. For those churches, some of them, God said, I'm taking your candlestick from you. You're no longer going to be a light because you have allowed sin to come in. And so we have to be careful that, you know, it's sort of like what I was teaching on Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday morning. Anyhow, where Samson would get up in the morning and shake himself. Or maybe it was midnight prayer and praise. And shake himself. But there came a time when he slept with Delilah entirely too many times. God said, I'm long-suffering, but long even ends up done.
You know, can I insert something? Right. She wasn't looking for his weakness. She was looking for his strength.
Right. What makes you
so
strong?
So the enemy want to find out what makes you strong.
Right.
And it could be, you know, maybe, you know, your spouse is helping you in the things of God. You know
well,
what I'm
I know
saying?
That's
and
for
try
me.
To, and the enemy try to come
God.
Against that.
Got,
you know what I'm
I
saying?
I got two
what, so she
helpers.
Was looking for what made him strong, mm-hmm. not what made him weak, because
right.
we all got weaknesses, but she wanted to know his strength.
And
where did that?
Your spouse
and the enemy's
can
after
disqualify
your strength.
You. Hello?
Yeah, but your...
Your spouse okay. can disqualify. I'm hearing
yeah.
you, but your
yeah.
spouse, she's talking about that. This woman helps me to be qualified. She does. So I'm talking to husbands and wives, because there's some husbands that have kept their wives from being able to grow in places that where they could be in the Lord. And there's some wives that have been anchors. The man's the Queen Mary. He's the big ship at sea. And then the wife is the anchor. He can't go very far. See, we should work together. She should push me like she did. Like when I was staying home for 2 years. I was out. I mean, she know I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it for whatever reason. Wasn't my choice. You can see I ain't doing that now. So that wasn't me. And I kept telling her, this is not me, Kathy. This is not me, Kathy. This is not me. This is not me. This is not how I feel. This is not what I want to do. But she said, I'm going to church. I'll pray for you, but I'm praying on the way to church. Danae's picking me up in a minute.
Yeah, and if you're single, that's what you need. You need to surround yourself with people that's
pushing you,
help you to be a stronger Christian.
And that's what the church is supposed to be.
Yeah.
When we come together,
we're supposed
to exhort one another, not just come to
that's
suck
true.
Up sermons,
that's
but
true.
To exhort one another. Brother, go for it.
That's true.
You know, believe God.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged.
Well, I'm seeing you slipping,
We don't see you for a little while. You look a little bummed out. I'm going to come and talk to you. I do that with the leaders all the time.
Yeah.
You know, how's your wife? How you doing?
And sometimes we allow people to make excuses, like the Bible says, you know, hey, I got married. I can't come to church. I bought some land. I can't come to church. And we allow people to make excuses. And if you love people, then you will tell them the truth in love and say, you know, if they say, well, you know, I'm working on, well, brother, then, you know, you need to pray and believe God that your schedule can change because you need to be at church. But sometimes we just go along and just say, oh, okay, you're working. And you
know,
sometimes we don't know if that's the truth. People make excuses. And really, in some cases, they're just lies. But we don't want to say that word, right?
And
I grew up where you couldn't say the word lie. You had to say... You tell a story.
I know. I grew up with
lie was like a
same
cuss
military
word
dad.
In our household, I guess.
I know. Yeah.
How many of you grew up like that where you couldn't say the word?
Ooh,
isn't that something? See?
Look at that.
See, they can relate
you
to
can't
me.
Say, you couldn't say, you lying.
I wish I would have asked that question. Why can't
slapped.
I say that word? You know,
you
when
lie.
You're young, you don't ask questions back to your parents. You just go along with
you're
it. You're
telling
know?
A story. Okay. Well, let's not tell a story. Let's hear the word.
So go ahead.
Watch this. It says, come now. This is back over at Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. So though your sins are like scarlet. See, and we have to make sure. I'm going to say it again. People that we know that's in sin have an invitation from God right here. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing, two things, and obedient, because sometimes we're obedient, but we're not willing, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall, that is an emphatic necessity. It has to happen. You shall eat the best the land has to offer. Another translation says, if you're willing and obedient, two things we got to have. Be willing and obedient, not I'm obedient, but I'm stomping off. You know, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. No, you gotta be willing and obedient.
Yeah, because sort of like the child making the bed, right? and you know, they go make up your bed. And so they're not really willing to do it. And so when you go in there, lumps under, you know, they it's like...
All their toys are under the covers, you know, just...
Well, I made it.
Right. Or they're washing the dishes and all of a sudden dishes start breaking.
What God wants is a good attitude. He wants that willing heart.
Yeah.
You know, because then that's a good attitude.
Yeah. And it's not just God that wants that. You want it too.
Yeah, we do.
You don't want your kids stomping off when you tell them to do something.
You know, as leaders, we want congregational members like
that.
Well,
that's true.
That's willing to serve, and it's not a pain in the backside.
I don't have time to placate folks.
Yeah,
I'm too busy going fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, just could you do so-and-so? If not, can you do so-and-so? If you can't, can you do so? Who can do so-and-so?
Yeah. Because you want a willing heart. God wants it.
We have to have that. And you need that in your household. And you shouldn't let your kids just sit there and sleep till the crack of noon every day. Okay? You need to get them up and tell them, hey, get your rump up, go wash some dishes. And then you're gonna, after that, go water grass. And after that, you can cut the grass. Okay? Do something. Don't let them just sit there and not do anything because, and this happens a lot of times, because you're a single parent and you feel sorry for the child. Don't do that, because God is their father now, okay? And he is also your husband or your wife, whatever, and he will take care of the household. You don't have to feel sorry for yourself. You don't have to feel sorry for that child. Of course, it may be that they're going through some challenges because kids want their parents. They want them. They want to have their parents around them. Anyhow, so let's move on. So though your sins are like scarlet, though they're white as snow, and crimson, they will be willing. If you're willing and obedient, say willing. And obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And you have watched people walking down the street. You can drive down the street. You'll see some people that's blessed and some people that's not. And for a lot of these people, it's based on what they are doing with their obedience to God. Now, maybe they don't know God yet, but we read already last week that the whole universe cries out, there's a God somewhere. Even the Godhead can be figured out. God says in his word without even hearing the gospel. I didn't say that. He said that. Don't look at me like that. Some of you cutting your eyes at me. No, it's true. We don't have to have the gospel to know there must be a God.
You sure can't.
All the blessings around us.
Yeah. Amen. Especially in the America, you really can't have any excuses because there's churches everywhere. The gospel's preached 24 hours a day on television. And I mean, just all places that you can hear about, you know, Jesus. And so, and then, of course, what the Bible says.
How many heard of God before they got born again? Put your hand up. If you heard of God, how many, let me ask it this way. How many never heard of God before you got born again? Okay. Verse 18, chapter 1, here in, what was that again?
I said the proof.
That proof it. Yeah. Verse 18, chapter 1 of now Romans. Romans 1:18. Now, I'm just giving you that because you have to decide if you're going to be obedient or not. And some of us, I say they got just the donkey spirit. You know, they just, you know, you got some kids like that. Different kids are different ways. And some, you know, are very obedient. Yes, daddy. Yes, mommy. You know, and then there's others that, you know, you got to jerk them, pull them. Come on, kid. Let's go. We got to do this. And they're kicking and screaming every time you try to get them to do something. You decide that spirit. You decide that attitude. I decide that attitude. Or else God couldn't say, if you're willing and obedient, you will. Because there's some that won't be willing and obedient. And some people will hear, and this is why we preach the word. Some people will hear, all I need to do is be willing and obedient, and God will give me the best the land has to offer. That's a pretty good deal. So why don't I just change my attitude? And you can do it anytime. For verse 18, Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and what else? Unrighteousness of who? Of who? Of who? Of who? It's not of the devil. It's of men. People decide that they're going to live an ungodly life or an unrighteous life. You decided tonight to live the righteous life and come and hear about living righteous so that you can add it to your cadre of righteousness. Some people don't want to hear about God. They do not want to hear about God. In fact, we got a whole bunch of folks in this country that grew up in the church, that went away from the church, and now swear they don't know nothing about God. Okay? Some of them are politicians. So don't vote for them.
Yeah.
You're going to give an account for who you voted for.
Yeah, that's true.
Because some of the people we voting for, these rascals, you hear them cussing all the time. And you vote for them anyhow. And I'm talking about on both sides. All three sides. All six sides. Whatever. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So people could just look at you and know there's a God. Who keeps your heart beating? Who taught you how to breathe air? Now, you didn't breathe air when you were in the womb. But all of a sudden, as soon as you came out of the womb, they cut the umbilical cord within minutes of you coming out of the womb. You couldn't breathe no air. Ain't no air in there. Okay? There's just a bunch of cheesy looking stuff and other, you know, I've been in the birthing room, you know, for all three of our kids. So there's sort of cheesy looking stuff and some liquid and the water that breaks and all. How can you help? You wasn't sucking no air. How is it all of a sudden, as soon as you pop out, you still got the umbilical cord on where you were getting oxygen. How did you know to start sucking up air? And I remember when my first daughter was born, she came out trying to knock all the stuff off her face. She's that kind of, you know, what's all this? And blowing her nose. I saw it for myself. I watched it. It was the strangest thing. I was like, how she know to do that? Something in my nose now. She couldn't breathe hardly. But see, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. The book of Psalms says that. So people can just look at you. How does your brain know what color things are? How do you know it stinks or smell good? I mean, think about it. We walk through through Macy's or Nordstrom's. You walk by the fragrance counter, you can tell, ooh, that smells good. You don't even know what it is. But whatever it is, your body senses. This is awesome. How do these two balls, called eyeballs, how do these two balls see everything? Hi, how are you? How does it do that? We need to know there's a God. Because as sharp as man is, he's tried to make some fake arms and fake legs and all that stuff. It ain't the same. God is awesome. Because all of this that you are was created while you were in your mother's womb. And then you knew 9 months was up. Your rent for free was over. It was time to come out and face the music. You got to pay the bills. Why 9 months? It's always, well, it's before that. It's a little abnormal. After that, it's very abnormal. So how in the world did you know that? How did you know to cry when you're hungry? As a little baby, wah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. And your mother knows they're hungry. Father don't know nothing. But anyhow, the mother knows that's a hungry cry. How do we do this? How do we do this? How do you know? How in the world does fingernails grow, but yet it's growing out of stuff that's not even that hard? How do you have these hard teeth and then you got gums holding them? I mean, it's amazing. When you look at you, it's amazing. You just had a heartbeat. Who regulated that? We need to give God some thanks. Because when it don't go right, God, help me. You know who to call then. But see, when we are operating fine, that's when we should give God the glory. We should give God the glory when things are just going just wonderfully. Because God is still blessing you. Still taking care of me. And so when it doesn't go right, we know to call out to God. But when it's going right, we know God. And we should act like we know him as God. As God. We got to treat God as God. And that's where that preeminence come in. Where we think we are sharper than God. We have a contempt against God. We go, cocked neck, you know. I'm cool. I know more than the God. I know God more than the pastor. I know more than the deacons. I know more than everybody. Because you cock your neck back, right? Baloney, you don't know nothing. You get to that box that we're going to have in that place, unless they burn you up. You get to that box, you ain't going to be able to do all that cock neck stuff. You need to give God glory. And God talks about stiff neck. That's what I'm talking about. He talks about that. So I try to bring us down to just planet Earth. I try to make sure we remember it's God that's doing that. You didn't even get that job. God gave you that job. I told you that Sunday. I was sitting right there while the worship and praise team was singing, and the Lord had me look around. He said, look at all this. It's all paid off. Everything's paid off. He said, look at all this. He said, you didn't do this. I did this. Don't you ever act like you did this. On the television ministry and all the stuff that we're doing, podcasts all over the world, all this. You ain't do this. People serving in the ministry. You ain't do this. And I don't care. You go and say, well, it's not as big as Reverend Dr. So-and-so. I don't give a rip. This is what he gave me. I ain't competing with Reverend Dr. So-and-so. You don't know how Reverend Dr. So-and-so is getting it either. I know some stuff because I know some stuff. So anyhow, we should be thankful to God. And I'll never stop saying this. I will never stop telling you, don't you ever get smug with God. I don't care what you get, how much you get. Because the Bible says, Paul said, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. And some of us only know how to be abased to go through hell. But when the blessings start flowing because of obedience and faith, now you start acting stupid, like you got it. We need to stay humble. Don't look at me mad. I'm telling you, we got to stay humble. You better be thankful you go to this church. I'm not going to inflate your head. I'm not inflating mine. I'm thankful to God. If it wasn't for God, who knows, I would probably be dead. Because that's what the enemy wanted from me. But I give God the glory. I thank God. I praise God for everything. And you can look at me ugly all you want to. I give God the glory. And you need to do the same thing if you want to be able to receive what God has for you next. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. Verse number 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. We have no excuses. And this is for the person that doesn't even hear the gospel, but this is to the church at Rome. We don't have an excuse. And this is why backsliding is so stupid. You already know about God. He done healed you so many times, protected you on the road, blessed your children, gave you a job when you was out of money and everything else. Kept that funky marriage together. And you're going to sit there and act like you don't know God. You're going to act like you all that. We should not do that. And I will never get to the point where I say, well, that's all right. It's okay if you've got a sort of smug attitude with God. God hates a proud look. It's one of the six things he hates. He hates a cocked head and a proud look. I'm all that. You ain't nothing. That's preeminence. And we shouldn't have that. And I'm not saying we do, but you need to notify. I mean, you need to notice people. You need to, like we say in flying airplanes and helicopters, you need to have situational awareness. Who else is around you? What traffic is that coming my way at 11 o'clock? I need to find out, is it coming toward me or is it going around me? Is it coming right at me? What's happening here? You should have some situational awareness with people. You should have situational awareness with your children to make sure they're not getting cocky on you, hanging around the wrong folks. It's important because you're going to see what happens here, because it doesn't help us to get to the point where we don't really know God, okay? We are without excuse. Turn to somebody and tell them. They ain't going to hit you. Tell them you don't have an excuse. Come on, tell them. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. I'm smiling. Hi. Everybody happy? Okay. She wrote me a note that said, smile. Okay. Let's read some more. Because although they knew God, now this part really gets me. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. That's like me. I have my wife, but I won't call her my wife. I won't treat her as my wife. I treat her as just any other woman. I'm in trouble. I can tell you that. I am seriously, I should probably go home that day. Your wife is unique, but God is more unique. So it says, because they knew God, yet they did not glorify him as God, and we're not thankful. We're not thankful. We're not thankful. We're not thankful. This is all I'm saying. We should be just giddy about this. Glory to God. Look at what God has blessed me. I'm looking over people, and I remember many of you when you got the job you got. We prayed, and that's how you got the job. And when you got the job, you were giddy. Oh, praise God. Pastor, guess what happened? They called me. God got the job.
And some people, they bring in first fruits of their job, too.
That's true.
Because they're really grateful.
Thankful.
And that's biblical.
It is. Yeah. But see, the Bible says, because they knew God. See, It's one thing to know and then not to do. The Bible talks about that. That's why teachers that teach the Word of God are held at a higher standard with God.
That's the word, too.
So we have to watch it. We can't act like we don't know. How am I going to teach you and yet I'm not going to do what I'm teaching? It says then they did not glorify him as God, as God, as God. So who did we glorify him as? He's just like anybody else. And see, and you know, I'm old-fashioned. I'm old-fashioned when it comes to giving honor to God, even with the way that I present myself. I don't want to come to church with my pajamas on.
They don't even want people on an airplane with that anymore, with their pajamas. They did
what about if I were sitting in the cockpit with my pajamas on? Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Our flight will be taking off.
Even the world is talking about that, though.
That's true.
They're saying that people, I was listening to a report, and they were saying that, and this was the world, they were talking about people wearing pajamas on the airplane and stuff, and they, I think they're trying to come up with some policies that they need to stop doing that.
That's true.
But it's just weird how people do
Sean
that,
Duffy,
even
our,
going
our
into the grocery
secretary.
Stores and stuff. And I know people want to be comfy and things, but I think, you know, what now?
There's a place to be comfy. There's a place to be able to give God some honor.
Yeah, because it's not very sanitary to me. So. But anyway, we won't go there.
I told you, let's not go there. Okay, because although they knew God, now you got to look at this. See, because we should, listen, when you go to heaven, you're going to give God glory for the rest of eternity. So you might as well get used to it. And that's why I can't understand people talking about they want to go to heaven, can't even go to church. How you going to do that? What God? Why would God want you up there? You complaining about going to church? We have to go again? What you going to do when it's 24-7, 7 days a week for the eternity? Do you know we don't even know how to imagine eternity? And you can't stand being around Christians for an hour and 25 minutes. Lord, help us today. You got to get real. Something's not right. Either you're not really a Christian, okay, because you can't stand being with them, all right, or either you have not learned how to be able to give God honor, because the reason we go here is to learn of him, not to learn of each other. We're here to learn of him. This is all about him, and so we got to get excited about him. If you can't learn him here, how are you going to be excited up there? Where there will be no other real distractions. We're going to be about kingdom business 24-7, as I said, through eternity. So we have to get our minds conditioned. This is, I say this all the time, this is rehearsal for heaven. This is rehearsal for heaven. And so we should be getting our attitude together and being thankful. Does it hurt to be thankful? I try my best to say thank you to everybody that does anything for me. I had a gentleman that we had hired that had got delivered off of crack cocaine, and he used to steal money from his wife, who was a legal secretary. He was one of the first people that came into the ministry. And one day, Ron turned to me because Ron was the best staff member, I mean, we've probably had in a long, long time at that time. And Ron would he would take care of anything, and he would volunteer, not just was a staff member. And I remember he was doing so many different things, I couldn't even keep up with what he was doing. But he turned to me one day and said, you know, you could say thank you. That hit me. I said, I'll never have a person say that. And I apologized profusely to him because he was doing so many things. And I told him, I appreciate you, thank you. And from that day on, in fact, I don't even say thanks or write thanks most of the time. I say thank you. It hit me that hard. And, you know, I needed to be corrected because I was just, it's not that I was taking him for granted, but it's just that he was doing so much, I didn't think I had to say about it. And the same thing with my wife. She does so many things, not just in this ministry, but in this ministry, she does so many things. My daughter, the same thing. Danae is about four or five people. And so I have to be thankful for these people. God sent them here. They don't have to do this. You don't have to do it. All of you. So I want to make sure you know I'm thankful. But what about God that's giving all of us life? Shouldn't we be thankful to him? And how can we show him we're thankful? For one thing, you can show him with your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. How else could we do it? We could do it with our service to where we're serving in the kingdom of God, the vision that God wants, laboring. How else? By worshiping him. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These are just a few ways that we can do this, but I need to finish this off. Let me finish this off. It says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became empty or futile in their thoughts. Watch where it starts. It starts in the way you think. Yeah. And we learn how to think by hanging around other people.
I like the King James also says imaginations, because that just takes it to a
right.
different vein in their imaginations. And we have to arrest our imaginations. Sometimes we think we could just think any thoughts. You know, anything come to our minds, we should just entertain those thoughts.
Right.
And as believers, we need to, the Bible says, we should cast down imaginations. Negative imaginations, we should cast down. And it's a battle sometimes, but we need to do that when it comes right. to the enemy telling us negative things and, you know, negative thoughts. We don't have to entertain those thoughts, and we have to learn how to use the word against thoughts, imagination, because I like how you broke that word down a long time ago. So it's like an image, you know, you can see images in your mind and negative images, and we have to learn how to cast those thoughts down with the word of God. That's mm-hmm. how you cast it down with the word. You exalt the word over that negative imagination. So that's why it's important to learn the word too.
Yeah, and really,
so you know what scriptures to use mm-hmm. at the time you need to use it.
But that imagination, I switched over to King James so I can be able to be along with you. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I just can't get that. I just can't understand that. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Now, that word, the way the Lord broke it down for me when I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations and Take Control of Your Thoughts, it's image a nation. So they've got the cowboy nation or the so-and-so nation. You know how people come up with these kind of things like that. You got to see that the imagination, you're imagining the way that you are as a group of people. Yeah, your culture. It's an image of a nation. It's an image of a group, a tribe. It's an image of people and different tribes, different people. You can go to different countries, as we've been to many countries. You can go to different countries, and their imagination of what they are supposed to be is completely different than another nation, maybe across the Jordan River, like, for example, which is really the Jordan Creek. It ain't that big. So we have to get a hold of our imagination, which means that people can submit things to you. Yeah. And you have to make sure you guard your heart and guard what you're thinking, what you're hearing, because you can easily be influenced in the negative.
And it's really that easy. It's that easy.
It's
a black dog. Can you see it? See?
Poodle.
Is that it?
Poodle, black
a poodle.
Poodle. You got it? I put this in my book, this kind of stuff.
Is that easy? How we can just submit, you know.
A red fire truck. Lights are blinking.
You see it. So that's why it's so important.
People can control you by controlling your imagination.
We have to guard our ears. We have to guard our ear gates, our eye gates, because we don't want the wrong imaginations to consume our lives.
Now, what happened here is the first step of a degrading lifestyle that people live and don't know they're living it. Because when they do not glorify God as God, neither are thankful and became vain in their imagination or empty in their imagination. In other words, they're not imagining, they're not thinking on the things of God. They're thinking on things of the flesh and the world. What happens is next. And their foolish heart was darkened. So they can't even really see where they used to be able to see. All of a sudden, it's darkened. Now, I wanted to make sure that I at least looked at that one word, because their foolish heart darkened is very interesting, that God would allow that to happen. And then it says next, well, I'll read the next thing and we'll stop right here. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I don't listen to you just because of what you say. We know the tree by the fruit it bears. I got to watch you for a while. Some of us have gotten fooled when people say, I'm so-and-so. And they ain't a bit more so-and-so than that. Some people have gotten fooled, you know, this is Dr. So-and-so, and he's a quack. Quack, quack. Okay, he's a quack. Or I'm attorney so-and-so. I remember there was a guy running around talking about he was an attorney. And they found out this guy wasn't no bit more attorney than a man in the moon.
Well, there's a politician right now. I wouldn't give his name if I knew it. I don't even know his name. I can't remember his name, really.
Yeah.
But there's a politician right now that he said he's a Christian, and I think he's a preacher or something. I don't know.
I know,
but
the one in
he's
Texas.
Supposed to, yeah.
And he's supposed to be their big deal.
And he believes in so many different things as sinful. And really, a lot of people are calling him a false prophet, you know. But he just outbeat another lady for the position or running for office.
For
but anyway,
yeah.
And he professed to be a Christian. And I mean, this is really, and I picked it up right away because the Bible says, you know, the tree by the fruit it bears. And so he's bearing fruit, but it's not godly. So he can say he's a Christian all he wants. It's just like a person say they can say they're a car. You know, I'm a car. I'm a car. I'm a car. I mean, I can say that all day, you know.
Go sit in the garage.
Yeah, and so we have to be vigilant, Christians. Just because someone say they are, you have to look at the fruit. And that's judging the fruit, and God has given us permission to judge the fruit.
Or
okay?
Don't go to the produce counter and look
so
for the
best fruit.
So you're
judging the fruit. You're not really judging the person, as it were, trying to condemn them. You're judging the fruit. You're judging what they're putting off. What fruit are they bearing? And we have to stop being silly to say, well, you know, you don't judge because the Bible says you don't judge. Well, that's because you don't know
that.
The scripture on that one, okay? And so you're not judging them as, because anyone can change. See, as long as they got breath in their body, they can change. But you have to judge the fruit. And one day, you know, God is going to judge all of us, of course. But he said that we are to judge the fruit. And we can't be gullible like that. Because that's how, what was the guy named that led all those people to?
Guyana,
Jim Jones?
Jim Jones, Guyana.
Yeah, Jim Jones. Yeah,
some
of you
are
so
young,
you weren't even born when this man was around. This false, you know, prophet.
900 some odd people.
900 some odd people drank that Kool-Aid or juice, whatever it was. I can't remember. I was a young teenager or whatever. And, but I remember the story, you know, and he led all those people. How in the world can one man deceive so many people that went to church? And I remember Dr. Price, our mm-hmm. mentor, he went into one of his meetings, this Jim Jones, you know. He went into one of his meetings in California, because he came to California.
In San Francisco.
Yep, and he told the people in the congregation, he said...
Jim Jones did.
He held up his Bible. Help me with the mm-hmm. story. Held up, he had people to hold up their Bible, and he said, now, you don't need that Bible.
Right.
You don't need that book.
I think he put it on the floor and put his feet
on
it.
Yeah, something like that. And Dr. Price said he
walked out.
He knew that was not of God. But yet, that man was able to deceive. Deception is scary, you know. It really is.
And we have politicians that's doing worse than that.
We have to ask God for discernment, you know, because I don't like to be deceived, personally. I hate it. I don't like nobody deceiving me, okay? And because deception is it falls in line with the enemy. That's how he deceived Adam and Eve. He deceived them. And so we have to be vigilant in this world that we live in because of social media. A lot of stuff is out there. And so that's why it's really important to, you know, be a part of a church like ours where you can see the pastor, you can see the wife, you know their lifestyle, you know they live in the community, and you're out there. And so it's just really important, and I hate people to be really gullible with these false prophets and everything, but that man was able to deceive that many mm-hmm. people. And it's just unbelievable. And the footage, I remember, because I was a young teenager, yeah. and the footage I saw on the news, oh gosh, it was just yeah. awful. The bodies that was laying on top of each other, family members that drank that stuff together, and it was just awful. And I can remember that, those images. Speaking of imagination, it's not imagination, I remember those images. And I said, this is really something. So you have to know your word, and you have to look at the fruit.
Right, okay. Right. It's really important. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to give you a definition of one or two of these words. But we'll finish this off now. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You need to have, and I said this probably a couple of weeks ago, you got to have a special place just for God. Nothing else goes there. No one else goes there. Like your worship. You shouldn't put your worship music and God's and the world's music together and you just, you know. No. You know. And I come from radio and television and all this music mess. And I'm telling you, you don't want to put that together. You should have God's music should be God's music, and it should worship God or help you to worship God. Say amen. Okay. Neither were they thankful. That is important. Stay thankful. Told you my experience that I had from here on out. I'm always thankful. I'm always thanking people. And if I haven't thank you now, okay? Because I'm thankful to God for you even being here. But became vain in their imaginations or in their hearts for their and their foolish hearts. I want to look at the word foolish. What are we talking about? Because some of us say, well, you're not supposed to say the word fool. This word foolish is in the Bible 5 times. I'll tell you where it's at, okay? It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, and it's in Romans 3 times, okay? So foolish is not a word we cannot use. What does it mean? It's a Greek word that means asunetos, okay? That's Greek, and you don't know how to say it either. But anyhow, here's the word. It means unintelligent, without understanding, stupid. Some people have a stupid heart. They are saying stupid stuff to you. Now, you've heard me preach about stupid. It's in the book. It's without understanding. It's stupid. It's unintelligent. Another understanding of this, the Strong's definition, it is AG1. It is unintelligible. It is wicked or twisted, foolish, and without understanding. So we don't want to listen to people like that. And here's the thing about it. It says that they left God and went to the foolish. And so we want to watch people and make sure that they stay with God. You need to, your grandma, maybe she loved God, or maybe your auntie or whatever, but then they went away from God, stopped going to church, and they don't serve God anymore, but you think they're still at the same place. They could be telling you stuff that's not scriptural if you don't know the word of God. The Bible says in the last days, people will be deceiving and being deceived. We are in the last days. So people are deceiving and being deceived, so you got to watch what's going on. This is just the stuff we're supposed to be studying. This is just the scriptures that we're at. So we have to take this now as the study that God has for us right now and grab a hold of it. I'm not looking at those special scriptures. It's Romans chapter 1, what we're supposed to go through. And so we need to grab a hold of this and know that our hearts, we don't want them to become darkened. Now, that's just the start of it, because not only that, God turns them over at the end to a reprobate mind, to where they're like on a conveyor belt. They're on the conveyor belt, and God tests them and rejects them. They're kicked off the conveyor belt, heading to heaven, as it were. God doesn't want us to be reprobate in the way that we think. I wrote the book, Casting Down Imaginations and Take Control of Your Thoughts. So I got something to do with, you know, God talked to me a little bit about, you know, how to be able to control your thoughts and keep out of stupid thinking. And the enemy tried to, you know, make that my last words. But anyhow, that didn't work. So you need to know that God wants you to give him glory. And you can't give him too much glory. You can't praise the Lord too much.
That's true.
Now, I don't mean go to work tomorrow and get fired, but I'm telling you, you can go ahead and praise God anytime. You can do it in your car. You can do it while you're washing dishes. I love to praise the Lord while I'm vacuuming the floor. Because can't nobody hear me. I'm just vacuuming the floor. I praise the Lord while I'm playing the drums. Praise the Lord while I'm playing the bass, playing the guitar. Praise the Lord while I'm, you know, talking to people on the phone. Put them on hold. And I mean mute. You know what I mean? Mute. And they ain't saying nothing. I'm praising the Lord. I ain't thinking about you. Because if you ain't saying nothing, if you're foolish, I'm talking to secular people, and they're saying stupid stuff. I don't have to sit there and listen to all that. I had one fool I talked to today, the most ignorant, most waste of my time today. Wasted 2 hours of my time talking to that idiot. I'm sorry. Praise God. I'm happy. Fix me, Kathy. Come on, fix me, girl. How many got something out of this tonight? You got something out of it. It's not an easy subject to
be able
to deal
with. Come on, I want you to make a confession. Say, Lord, come on, let's stand up and change your posture right now. Say, Lord.
Lord.
Help me to be able to discern between good and bad.
And bad.
Father, thank you for insight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank God. Come on, we need discernment.
Come on, give God some praise in the house.
Come on, say, I will discern. Come on, say, Lord, help me discern between evil and good.
And good.
Okay, I need to know what evil is, and I want to know what good is.
Show me.
How many witnesses do I have? Come on. Or you want to be just a foolish person. You know, it's like the Bible talks about men. How they
don't get
oxen.
On us, please,
come on,
don't.
Help me. You come can. On. You're a man. About a silly
really?
Woman.
I am.
How, it says because they become silly like that, a woman can just lead them with her words and stuff, and they are led like
that's
oxen.
Book of Proverbs.
Yeah, well, that's a
like
foolish man.
You know,
okay, but you don't want
like an ox to the slaughter. Is
right.
That what you want me to say?
So we don't want to be foolish. You know, you're a man, you don't want to be a fool and a foolish person, right? And women, we don't want to be foolish either. And so we have to pray and say, Lord, open up my eyes to truth. I want to know. I want to be able to discern. Is this good? Is this evil?
Right.
I want to know. Okay?
And in this time, in this society, you need to be praying 24/7.
Come on, let's praise the Lord.